continuing our series, Good News. The title of today's message is The Great Suggestion. You're not familiar with that verse, me neither. Now, I'm going to give you fair warning so I don't forget. At the end of the service, after the invitation, we're doing something a little different. Usually that terrifies people, and that's fun. And so it's going to be a little something. So if you've got your stomach and your dietary plans ready, and the second invitation's over, and you're just ready to step out the door, just understand you got 5 minutes after the invitation that I'm explaining a new initiative that we're doing called Operation Everywhere, and I'll explain that after the sermon. In the meantime, Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 through 20, the great suggestion. You've all seen the Ten Commandments movie that was made a long time ago, and it was, you know, it's got Charlton Heston in it, and he's got this strong, powerful voice, and it, for the most part, accurately tells what the Bible shares in Exodus. But imagine if instead of Charlton Heston, it was Charlton Hesitant, and it was the Ten Suggestions. And God said things like, make no idols unless it's shiny or it's your favorite political candidate. Do not take the Lord's name in vain unless you stub your toe really, really hard. Thou shalt not lie unless it's on your taxes. Thou shalt not covet unless the neighbor's wife looks really, really good. That wouldn't be much of a movie, right? The Ten Suggestions. But all too often, as believers, we treat God's commands as suggestions. See, God, he's in the supreme position to give commands. We talked about that sort of several weeks ago when we talked about the Big Question series, and God alone has the authority to command you and I to do what to do. He is in the supreme position to do so. And as followers of Christ, we must recognize that we are commanded to share our faith. Look with me in Matthew 28. We'll start in verse 16 just to give us some more context. So now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Well, let's pray. Father, I thank you for this time to gather with brothers and sisters in Christ, who I truly do love, and I know who love each other. Father, I pray that you would speak to us at this time. Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit would illuminate our minds and our hearts and push us and compel us and pull us to obedience. Fill me with your Spirit. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Point number one, we see that we share with his authority. We share with Christ's authority. Jesus had a big job for his followers. You have to understand this is right before the ascension. This is right before Jesus goes back into heaven. His work on earth in his physical form was done, and the Holy Spirit was about to come down and in power. But before all that happened, Jesus spoke to his disciples and before he went to heaven, and he gave them this great commission. He says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. All is a key word in this passage. It emphasizes Jesus' identity. He has all authority over all nations, over all things. It's all under Jesus' jurisdiction. So he has the right to do what he will with it. Jesus has the authority. So on the basis of his authority, we are sent. We have no authority apart from Jesus. You've all seen the Wild West movies or TV shows, and remember it was the people wearing the black hats were bad, and people wearing the white hats were good, right? And then you have this one guy. Maybe he was given a badge because the other sheriff died, or maybe he did something noble and he gets it. But you remember those big shiny kind of star shaped badges? Are y'all with me? Or is this everybody's awake? And we've all seen these movies. I haven't lived by myself somewhere. And so these things. And so this is. And then he gets authority, right? And so before, if he went and put somebody in jail, before if he shot some bad guy, before if he did something that a sheriff should do without being a sheriff, he would get himself in trouble. He'd be one of the outlaws that he was arresting. But man, he gets that badge, and he has authority. Jesus, in a very real sense, has given us his authority. Jesus said, I have power over all things, heaven and earth. That pretty much sums it up. It's all mine. He said, I have given you a big, shiny badge of authority. And it says, you are my disciples, and you are allowed to speak for me as long as you speak what I have spoken. There are a lot of people who think you don't have authority. You know, our government, increasingly so, doesn't think that we have the authority to share the gospel. They say, hey, you can worship inside your house. You can do whatever you need to do in your own private affairs. That's fine. But don't bring that into the workplace. Don't bring that into the public arena. But that's not what Jesus says. There are people who are living really immoral lifestyles that go against what God says. And they say, hey, how dare you tell me how to live my life? Let me do what I want to do. They don't like you sharing God's gospel. We have the moral relativist, and they say, how dare you share your truth over my truth? They say all truth is equal, so you shouldn't be telling me your truth. And our relative culture authoritatively tells us we have no authority to tell people how to live. Did you catch that? Our relative culture authoritatively tells us we have no authority to tell people how to live. So you can't share the gospel. Your truth is no better than anybody else's truth. But Jesus said that you are to go and make disciples. Sometimes we feel we are not qualified to share or to share the gospel or to make disciples ourselves. We have an inability, and we think, I haven't been a Christian long enough, or I don't know enough about the Bible, and I'm afraid to share, or I can't share because of that. And those are legitimate concerns, although not adequate excuses before God. I did want you to know that we have training on the calendar here for anybody that's willing to participate. And how to share the gospel. We're going to have several trainings this year in 2020 of how you can share your faith. So, man, Pastor, I really don't know how to share my faith. I want to learn. Then you need to sign up for those things when we start promoting them. Some people say, well, I mean, because of my past, I'm afraid to share. I've done a lot of bad things, or I've done this, or I've done that. You know, the Apostle Paul had a pretty bad past. Murder, persecution, that's pretty bad. The Apostle Paul didn't dwell on his past and the guilt and the shame of that. Matter of fact, many times he used the shame of his past for God's glory. See, you and I are really not qualified to share the gospel message. This is an important truth, and I hope we understand it. The message, not the man, has the authority. Are you with me, church? So the message, not the man, has the authority. That in all reality, I don't have the right to tell somebody how to live their lives, how to change. I'm just a person. I'm just a sinner like they are and were until Christ has changed me and transformed my status before him. But you know who has the authority to tell people? God. You know who has given us authority? God. Jesus Christ said, all authority has been given to me and I give it to you. God can change people's lives. I cannot. God knows the hearts of everybody in this world, present, past, and future. And I don't. But I don't have to. We speak with God. We speak with Christ's authority. See, in a world that wants you to be quiet, you are commanded to speak up. Point number one is clear, friends, that we share with Christ's authority. Now look with me in point number two. We share to make disciples. Verse 19 says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. We are to make disciples. The central command here in this passage is to make disciples. We are followers commanded to produce more followers. Discipleship is helping others follow Christ as you follow Christ. And I hope you understand this, church. This is not for the spiritual elite, if there were such a thing. This is not for the godly, super spiritual people in this congregation. No, the Bible says that every one of us, if you're a believer, have been given authority by Jesus to share the gospel and make disciples. And I want you to understand this, that you can do it. That you can make disciples. That you can make disciples. That you can make disciples. There's no exceptions to that rule. Every one of us can make disciples. Discipleship is helping others follow Christ as you follow Christ. Well, do you follow Christ? If you're a believer, then you do. And you follow Christ. So discipleship is just helping other people follow Christ as you follow Christ. It says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Nations means people or ethnic groups. He says, we break down every artificial barrier that our world tries to set up, and the gospel is bigger than that. So we won't let ourselves be separated by race or background or gender. The gospel's bigger than that. And our culture keeps putting letters in front of people's names or after people's names that are supposed to divide us. It's LGBTQ, and now it's plus. And those things are supposed to separate us from loving people and sharing the gospel with them. But that's not true. Jesus says that we are to go into all the nations, all peoples, all backgrounds, and we are to share this gospel, this loving message of God with them. We're not going to be separated by politics. The gospel's bigger than that. And we're going to share with all people, no matter what, God's love for them. Now here's an important part in this passage, and I hope you follow it with me, okay? So the three words, go, baptize, and teach, are not all individual commands. They are the how of how we make disciples. They are actually, without going to all the grammar of it, which gets really boring, but they're subordinate to the command, the one command of make disciples in this passage. This is the rest of these words are how we do that. Go, baptize, and teach. So the word go. Go, therefore. Therefore, because Jesus said he already has authority, right? So go is best understood as you go. So I'm all about demystifying sharing your faith. You know, when we see fog is not particularly dangerous in itself. It's not cold. You can breathe it. It's not destructive. But what's so dangerous about fog? It can blind you, right? Maybe when you're walking, that's not big of a deal. But when you're driving down the interstate and you cannot see, it blinds you. Fog can be absolutely deadly. There's a lot of believers that are in the fog of these false ideas about sharing their faith. And they think maybe that's for the spiritually elite or the super smart or people who have been Christians for 50 years. Those are the ones that share their gospel. And it's gonna be this big, uncomfortable situation every time you share the gospel where you sit down in front of them and you rub your hands together. And friends, most of the time that I've shared the gospel, it's a very normal, casual conversation. I've had good conversations and I've had bad conversations, but we need to demystify this idea that sharing the gospel is some difficult, complicated exercise, and it's not. It's simply telling people the message that Jesus has told us to do, the gospel, the good news. And sharing it in whatever context and way and whatever audience person that we're sharing that with. It's not hard. That's why we're going to have training here soon to show that. The story's told of a barber, kind of an old school barber, and he had recently received Jesus Christ as his Savior. So he was really pumped and he was really excited about it. So he wanted to share his faith. And so when a customer came in, he wanted to share his faith with him, so he gave him a shave and a haircut, and he just couldn't work up the nerve to share the gospel with him. And so the next one comes in and he's trying to do it and he can't quite share the gospel. He's too nervous. And then the day goes on and he keeps getting more nervous and psyching himself out, and he's getting more anxious and more worried that he's not going to be able to do it. And the final guy sits on the chair and he gets his razor and puts his razor to his face and said, "Are you prepared to meet God tonight?" Well, I wouldn't recommend doing that, okay? There's probably wrong ways to share the gospel, and that would be one of them. We make something that God says that every believer can do, and he's gifted everybody to do it. If you're a believer, if you're a Christian, you have a story, how God changed your life. You can use that as you witness to your friends. We all must share. As you go. Not, okay, when the church has some mission trips and maybe some evangelism days, I'll go then. No, he said, as you go, as you live your life, share the gospel, make disciples. So on the way, while you're there at the grocery store, share the gospel. When you're having dinner with friends or neighbors, share the gospel. In car rides with other people, share the gospel. With chats with neighbors over the fence, share the gospel. In bedtime with your children, share the gospel. When you're hiking with people and friends, share the gospel. Are you with me, church? As you go, as you live your life, make disciples. Share the gospel. The word go is best understood as as you go. The next word we see is baptizing. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In the New Testament, baptism is closely linked with salvation, but they are different. It's a command to be baptized. I was thankful I had a little friend of mine that he was in his 70s, and the last church I was at, he was about this tall, and he got baptized just a couple years, got saved and baptized just in, I think, 2018, and passed away just a couple days ago. And I was so thankful that God allowed me to lead him to the Lord. Not on my own effort. There was plenty of other people that helped in this process. And I had to take off his little oxygen while we walked up these stairs. and he had these kind of bow-legged, and he wanted to be baptized. And so we baptized him because he wanted to be obedient to what God told him to do. And it was such a privilege, and it was a beautiful picture for the church to see that. See, baptism is publicly identifying yourself with Christ. As a Baptist, we believe that baptism is symbolic, that it doesn't save you or wash away your sins. It is symbolic. Baptism shows on the outside what has happened on the inside. I always tell little kids this, and maybe I've used this here before, I'm not sure. I always tell kids when I'm explaining baptism, I say, "What is this on my finger?" They say, "Well, that's a ring." I say, "Well, what does that ring mean?" And a lot of them know that it means that you're married. I say, "Well, am I married to this ring? Do I kiss this ring at night?" And I see that I say these exact words, and usually they go, "Oh, no, gross." I said, "Well, what does it mean?" It means that I'm married to my wife. It shows a greater truth. And baptism symbolizes what has happened on the inside. So when you are buried with him in baptism, that you are the old person that was without Christ is laid to rest, is dead, and you are a new person in Christ Jesus. But it also represents that Jesus Christ died for us and came back from the dead. And so we publicly proclaim, hey, we're on Christ's team when we get baptized. Any other form besides immersion or dunking is not biblical. That's why Baptists do it this way. You never see anybody sprinkled or anything else in the New Testament. They're always dunked in the water. And that's why as Baptists, we dunk people in the water. The word baptizo, the word baptism really means to dunk in the water. And so that's why we do it the way that we do it. We're not difficult. We're not doing it just because of tradition, but that's clearly what the Bible says. So we want to baptize believers. We want to baptize disciples. And the last word is teaching. Look at verse 20. "The teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you." Jesus instructed us not only to teach content, but to train people towards obedient action. The goal of Christian teaching is not education, friends. Right? The goal of Christian teaching is not simply education. The goal of Christian teaching is obedience. We're not just here feeling our skulls and going to conferences so that we can impress people. We want to learn more about Jesus so we will act more like him. That's the goal of Christian teaching. Let me give you an example. Imagine, if you will, that as a parent that I tell my kids to clean up their room. Now, I know you guys are so spiritual and great parent, Christian parents. Your kids never have any issues with this. But I said, you know, kids, clean up your room. And let's just pretend that my kids were old enough for me to go away. They're not old enough. Let's just say that I was in the backyard for a while. I'm going to come back. When I come back, I want that room clean. You ever been there? Of course, you don't say it like that. So I come back after being gone an ample amount of time, and neither one of the rooms are clean. And I say, "What happened? Who wants a spanking first?" They say, "Oh no, Dad, you don't understand. We memorized what you said. Memorized it. Clean up your room. Got it. Memorize it. Treasure it here in my heart. Dad, we sang about it. We got together, held hands, cried a little bit, sang about how we should clean up our rooms. I ain't gonna cut it. Dad, you don't understand. While you were away, we went to the store, we got bumper stickers, and we put them on our car. And it says, clean your room. And I want you to know, Dad, that we did that. Okay? Dad, I want you to know that we thought it was so serious, we tattooed it on our arms. Clean your room. Y'all see where I'm getting at yet? Sure you do. Did you clean your room? No. Dad, we learned how to say clean your room in Greek and in Hebrew. And Dad, while you're away, we did a Bible study. We gathered our friends together. We got in a room and thought, what would it be like if we cleaned a room? Like, let's talk about it. How do you feel about cleaning a room? But the room, not clean. See, God hasn't called us to education exclusively. God has called us to obedience, to obey Jesus, because he knows that obeying Jesus is the best thing for us and for God's glory. And look at this wonderful promise at the end. Jesus says, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. That you are not alone in this enormous task. Jesus didn't throw you to the wolves and say, good luck. I know that you'll be persecuted or ridiculed for this, and you know, have a nice life. I've done my part. 33 years. I'm out. He said, I'm with you. Every conversation that you have, every person that you see, that I'm with you. Every word that you speak, that I'm with you. That I haven't left you. I haven't abandoned you, but I'm with you. You don't have to do this alone. And I like that promise. See, we are to share with his authority. We have authority, not our own, but Christ. We are shared to make disciples, to watch people follow Christ as we follow Christ. Not for this spiritual elite, not for pastors that have been to seminary, for all people. See, all too often we treat God's commands as God's suggestions. As followers of Christ, we must recognize that we are commanded to share our faith. As we move into the invitation time today, this is the challenge of God's word. Can I ask you, friend, as you're reflecting and as you're thinking on this message, on God's word, what stops you from sharing your faith? Is it fear? Fear of rejection, fear of loss of a relationship? Those are real possibilities. Afraid you're not going to know what to say? Is it fear that stops you from sharing Jesus with other people? I want you to know, friend, that Jesus is with you wherever you go. He'll help prepare you for whatever task that you have. The busyness. Man, I would like to share the gospel. Man, I just don't got the time for that. For starters, I really don't believe that, but there's a lot of people that believe that. I'm just too busy. I can't go around sharing my faith. Too busy to share the gospel, friends. You're too busy. Maybe you feel like you're unprepared. Pastor, I want to help you with that. I want to train you up. I want to send you out. I want to go with you. We'll reach Tucson for Jesus Christ. I encourage you, brothers and sisters in Christ, can you commit to witness? Commit to share your faith with other people. Today, tomorrow, this week. Here are people who don't know Jesus. Maybe you need to be baptized. Hope you understand, friend, that's a command from the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Who cares what I say? But the King of Kings, Jesus, said, if you want to follow me and do what I say, Jesus tells us to be baptized. Have you been baptized the way the Bible says you're to be baptized? If you haven't, come forward. We got baptism in a couple of weeks. We'll celebrate with you. know Jesus? Are you following Jesus yourself? Been a time in your life when you've trusted Jesus as your Savior, that you recognize that you were guilty because of your wrongdoing, that you needed forgiveness from God? You asked Jesus for that forgiveness, asked Him to rule your life, given your heart to Him. Have you ever done that before? If you haven't, I'm not beating you up. I'm not trying to shame you. I'm inviting you to experience the grace of Jesus Christ. Grace is God's unmerited favor. We couldn't earn God's favor. Jesus came and He died for you and for me. By placing our faith and trust in Him, that we can become Christians. We'd like to do that today. We stand up and start singing. Believers are praying for you. Nobody's judging you. And come forward and talk with me. Talk with one of our prayer team. We want to pray with you. We want you to become a Christian. So let's pray. Father, thank You for who You are. Thank You for being our firm foundation. Lord, thank You for the message that Jesus has given us. Good news for a world that got a lot of bad news. Lord, will You give us strength? Will You give us boldness to share that truth? Will You give us hearts of compassion? Care for those who are lost and perishing. I pray for those who don't know You. God, I pray that they would trust You today. They would follow You and baptism, they would follow You in faith, they would trust You. Speak to heart. I ask this thing in Jesus' name.